Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America. Elephants, the grass, and a teacher. Recollections and reflections on the Nigeria-Biafra War by Dr. Chinyere Egbe is a captivating rendition of Dr. Egbe's personal and family experiences during the Nigerian Civil War, 1967 through 1970. The powerful memoir not only chronicles a pivotal moment in Nigerian history, but also serves as a powerful reminder of the resilience of the human spirit in the face of adversity. Dr. Chinyere Egbe is an economist, currently a tenured full professor of business at Medgar Evers College at City University of New York, where he has taught business statistics and finance since 1989. He's also a consortial faculty at the City University School of Professional Studies. Community leaders have also recognized Dr. Egbe for his contributions to community development and awarded him certificates of special congressional recognition in 2001 and 2018. Dr. Chinyere Egbe, author of Elephants, the Grass, and a Teacher, Recollections and Reflections on the Nigeria-Biafra War, joins us on This Week in America. Doctor, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you very much for inviting me. I am very, very glad to be here today to express my feelings about events in my life, and also, I would say, events that affect human beings around the world and throughout history.
You do such a remarkable job of bringing this to life during this period of the Nigeria-Biafra War. What was the inspiration for this book, Elephants, Grass, and a Teacher? Was there a specific moment, maybe, events that made you decide to document your experiences and reflections in this book?
Definitely, from the end of the war more than 50 years ago until I began to write this book, I continue to reflect on the events, and especially the human experience, the way that people suffered and who suffered and how they suffered and why they suffered. And I just, you know, kept telling the story. At some point, I read the experiences of some other people, people who were also young, but who recollected events and documented them. And so I decided to the historiography of the whole event. And the issue for me is that, you know, we debate these issues in conversations, and people come up with all kinds of opinions, and some of them biased, some of them objective. And I just decided to add my own piece to it. Essentially, you know, what I wrote is a thesis. And so in the process, I provide a thoughtful reflection on issues surrounding the war, but it also offers my perspective on human conflict, examining the motives of and actions of ruling establishments on both sides. And I analyze also the key personalities, because some of these personalities have taken, have been referred to sometimes as a cult around them, as if they were infallible, as if they were so great. But I decided to reflect also on the personalities involved in the war, the key personalities that played the critical roles.
You know, it's interesting. The book is Elephants, the Grass, and a Teacher, Recollections and Reflections on the Nigeria-Biafra War by our guest on the program, Dr. Chinyere Egbe. All the links for the book on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, published by Mainspring Books. You can buy it there, information. Also, the doctor's website, we've got that on our website, a direct link, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, of course, all of the usual places. Doctor, your book presents a critical view of both Nigerian and Biafran leadership during the war. What do you think were the biggest failures on each side that led to this prolonged conflict?
This is the main side, the main aspect of my writing about this whole thing. One of the biggest failures on each side, on both sides, were that each side underestimated the other side's determination to make its point. And as a result, before the war and the crisis that preceded the war and during the war, opportunities for peace were missed due to the rejection of mutually beneficial concessions on both sides. There was mutual betrayal, in my view, with agreements either not being honored or being misrepresented or distorted. On the Biafran side in particular, the leaders were myopic about war and about the requirements for war, and they were simply unprepared. And this is my view, and I did analyze it. I did really justify how ill-prepared they were for war, and they led people into war. But the determination of the people prolonged the war. So on the Biafran side, they were simply unprepared. They misled people into believing that they were prepared for war. The Biafran side lacked strategic thinking when it comes to war. I mean, the way I have studied it over time, their internal and foreign policies were pedestrian and opportunities to make peace that would have salvaged some honor from the disaster were missed. And the Nigerian leadership on their side failed to protect citizens and created a lot of hard feelings that made people want to react in very injurious ways, both to themselves and to everybody. But besides that, when the Nigerian government failed to protect those who were afflicted during the crisis of 1966, they even withheld support from those who eventually suffered tremendously from that. And that precipitated a lot of ill feelings, a lot of bad feelings on both sides.
You mentioned that many books on the Nigerian Civil War suffer from selective memory, as you call it. How did you ensure that your account remained objective and balanced as much as possible? And I'll mention that your book is praised for its objectivity of analysis. How did you make sure that you were objective in this presentation?
One way that I made sure that I was objective was that I read extensively about events, about the facts. Okay, it's not just that I read people's opinions. Of course, when I read people's opinions, I saw a lot of bias. But I read a lot, but I mean, more than 65 or 75 books that were written by people on both sides and verified the accuracy of the statements. And then what I did was to put myself in turn in three different positions. I tried to put myself on the Nigerian side and ask the question, what if I was a northerner and I was subjected to murderous brutality due to the actions of a few? Alternately, I asked the Igbo man, what would you do if your leaders were murdered in cold blood and their positions were taken by those who murdered them? I asked other Nigerians, how would you feel if you were subjected to harassment by your fellow country persons for no other reason than the actions of a few? So I analyzed also the actions of the leaders and tried to question their decisions during this whole conflict. You know, why did you make decisions such as these when you are dealing with the destiny of a people? And it looked like some of those decisions were selfish. And so I tried to put each side on the other side. How would you feel if you were on the other side? How would you react? How would you respond? And I think that is the best way to get people to understand their own errors and their own contributions to conflict. And we can now actually reach a reconciliation.
It's an interesting perspective. It's all presented in the book Elephants, the Grass, and a Teacher, Recollections and Reflections on the Nigeria-Biafra War by Dr. Chinyere Egbe. The book is untold stories of ordinary people in extraordinary circumstances. It is a powerful read book available wherever books are sold. All the information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. The book discusses suffering of civilians. It's heartbreaking when you read the stories in Dr. Egbe's book. What was the most challenging part of writing about these experiences? Some you lived, some you saw firsthand. How did you navigate the emotional weight of these memories? It would be very difficult, I would think, going back and bringing all of this up again. How did you balance all of that?
Well, the way I balance all of it is to actually, you know, talk to people, read about events and what happened, and try to again, put myself in the difficult positions. I mean, during the war myself, I was in many respects partially shielded from what happened. I was not totally shielded because I went through harrowing experiences. My family went through harrowing experiences and challenges. But I believe there were people who suffered more than I did. Not really believe. I mean, I saw with my witnessed, actually people that suffered malnutrition, which I did not suffer. And my family largely did not suffer through it. And so, when I think about those experiences and look at what I would say was my own exposure that caused me a lot of pain, then it made sense for me to try to document this and analyze it.
The book is Elephants, the Grass, and a Teacher, Recollections and Reflections on the Nigeria-Biafra War by Dr. Chinyere Egbe. I will spell that several times if you're going to Google. Go to our website. You'll get all the information, direct link to the doctor's website. That's spelled Chinyere. Egbe is Egbe. I'll give you that at the end of the interview if you are writing that down. Again, you can find the book at Amazon, at Barnes & Noble, all of the usual places. A link to the doctor's website by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. In your view, doctor, what are the most significant lessons that Nigeria, perhaps Africa as a whole, should learn from this war, the Nigeria-Biafra War? And do you see any parallels with present-day conflicts that you can talk about?
My suggestion to my fellow Nigerians, to human beings around the world, to communities around the world, is within Nigeria, we should work together to build a better Nigeria, to build a viable Nigeria. In my view, peace is the ultimate victory. Nobody wins in any kind of conflict. There's bloodshed that eventually impacts everybody, that affects some people more than others. Violent confrontations do not generally lead to the best solutions. Ordinary people should learn that they should not allow themselves to be led easily into war. Are there contemporary events that are similar? The answer is yes. I mean, even the present war in Ukraine. What did the Russians think when they decided to invade Ukraine? This is special military action, and they probably expected it to end in 2 weeks, in yes. a month, in 3 months. But we are going into 3 years, and the conflict is not, the end of the conflict is not anywhere in sight. There's continuous buildup. The issue is escalating. Troops are being borrowed from other countries. Weapons are being borrowed and bought from other countries. And who is going to gain from all of this? All the destruction that is taking place, all the armament that is going to be destroyed, those resources could have been applied to for production that would eventually provide the food and the shelter that everybody would benefit from. This is one of the examples. I mean, what happened after the Civil War? A lot of property was destroyed. A lot of human beings lost their lives. At the end of it, who gained? I don't think any side would come out and say that they really, truly won a total victory. Me.
The title of the book, Elephants, the Grass, and a Teacher, is quite symbolic. Could you elaborate a little bit on its meaning, how it really encapsulates the core themes of your book?
As a matter of fact, Elephants, the Grass, and a Teacher. The thesis of the book, which actually I began by making reference to Lucius Mysterius Plutarchus, an ancient Roman poet, actually citing or making references to Gaius or Tiberius Gracchus, that the real elephants are the ruling establishments in any society. The grass are the ordinary people. And there's an African proverb that when elephants fight, the grass suffers. And this is what happened in Nigeria. The ruling establishments were essentially fighting each other for their privileges and their comfort, and the masses of the people were the ones that really suffered. They were the ones that died. The children suffered malnutrition. They didn't have food. If you see the pictures, they are horrible. So at the end of the day, when the war ended, you ask yourself, 3 million people died, 2 million people died, or 1 million people died. That's a lot of people to die in 1 year due to conflict. And so the question then becomes, who is to gain from war? It's usually the ruling establishment. The masses suffer for it. They are the cannon fodder that mowed down in during a war. The teacher there is my dad, who shielded the family. Either through his foresight, he had this big plantation, and so we harvested food from it, and we never, suffered the malnutrition. Not even we even had meat, because we had a poultry, we had a goat farm, and so we ate well. Okay. Now, his personal influence as a person also saved us. For example, when the Nigerian army arrested my mother, my brothers and sisters, all of them, my uncle, added them up to be shot, only for somebody to produce a picture, and a large picture, where the commander, the very commander himself that sent for them to be arrested, was in that picture. That was just his personal influence. And the commander said, no way I'm going to shoot my teacher's wife and his children. And even in that picture was the commander of the 3rd Marine Commando Division of the Nigerian Army. And so just that personal influence. When I was arrested and captured and tortured, what saved me was, again, my father's influence. And so this is why I refer to the teacher, because throughout the period, we had all these experiences, and just his personal influence alone saved us, and we survived.
So close to losing your lives along with your family, and that personal experience. This is not someone writing a historical book that's using all sorts of reference guides and doesn't really understand what was happening. Dr. Egbe was there. He lived through this. This is personal for him, and the book is so well written. Book available, again, wherever books are sold. I'll give you the websites before we conclude our conversation. You criticize both Biafran and Nigerian leadership for their diplomatic missteps. What alternative diplomatic strategies do you think could have prevented the war, or maybe even ended it sooner?
The diplomatic missteps were mostly on the Biafran side, but also on the Nigerian side in their failure to prevent the crisis in northern Nigeria, the ethnic cleansing. But on the Biafran side, the diplomatic missteps, in my view, were just pedestrian. The internal diplomacy, where the majority Igbos did not treat the minorities kindly, and so did not give them a real incentive to join the ministry struggle. The international diplomacy of Biafra, to me, was pedestrian, as if, they did not have experience. But one example would be the Eastern Nigerian government's leadership approaching the state of Israel to purchase arms in August 1966. When they believed naively that the Jewish state, having gone through the Holocaust, would quickly sympathize with them and provide them support. When that is, very naive. International diplomacy does not work that way. Okay? They should never have approached the Israeli government openly. The international arms market brings together strange bedfellows. People sell arms just for the money, and they don't care who is going to get killed for it. So for them to approach a state openly really showed a lot of diplomatic naivety. And that approach, was taken throughout the war, just showing that they don't know how to do diplomacy.
Your book reflects on the folly of the Igbo man. Can you explain what you mean by this, and why do you think these issues still persist today?
I say something, and I'm going to say it at the risk of course, being disapproved by my own people. I am an Igbo man myself. And I wrote extensively about it in the book, and I wrote about the history of the Igbos way back at least until the 10th and 11th centuries. I said that Igbo man needs to disabuse their minds of the thought that they are more capable than other people, at least among Nigerians. And one thought that ran through the mind of the Igbo man was that the Hausa man could not defeat the Igbo man because they thought that because they had the preponderance of the educated manpower in Nigeria, they were going to, you know, win the war, and the other side could not do anything. One of the things that was wrong again with the Igbo man during the war is what I said in the book is get you first the Italy kingdom, you know, and then everything can be added thereafter. One simple thing was that during the war, Igbos that were given money to purchase arms in the international market essentially pocketed most of the money. And the people with a lot of common sense will first of all get the arms, win the war, and whatever you are fighting for, you're going to get after the war. Even today, that kind of behavior persists. And this is why many Igbo organizations in the diaspora fail, because a few people will say all those kinds of nice things that will make people to be committed, only to pocket the resources of the organization. And then people will leave, and the organizations fail. And that attitude has really, you know, that disposition, that tendency has not changed much more than 50 years after the war, as if our people did not learn any lessons. I mean, that I can say, and I'm glad that this is going to be a broadcast. A lot of people know that it's my opinion, my viewpoint, and I can point to it in a lot of places.
And it's very well documented. That brings back what we talked about before, the applications to what went on behind the scenes decades ago, the disaster that both countries went through and humanity suffered, that we're facing today. The book is so valuable in that respect, a history lesson and letting us know things that we should be watching for, things that are happening today in conflict. A few minutes left in the program. I want to ask, if you were to have a conversation today with a young Nigerian who's unfamiliar with the war, maybe vaguely familiar, but really not familiar with the details, what would you want them to take away from reading your book? What would you want a young Nigerian, what would the takeaway be for them, do you think?
The takeaway from them is hard work, you know, mutual respect. We have to respect each other. We have to learn to work together to build a viable country for all of us. And there is enough to go around so that we don't have to fight and destroy each other. And this is just my way of looking at things.
It's interesting you are a noted economist. I mentioned that, your teaching career. You thought about being a historian. You're obviously interested in history. You do an excellent job in this book of presenting history. You've published this book now. Do you see yourself writing more maybe on this topic or other historical events? What's in the future for you as an author?
Well, I see myself not writing another book as such. I would like to write another book, but it's not going to be a solo author book. I would like to put together a book of readings with other authors to address certain, I would say, narrow events. One of the areas that I have been working on is an economic analysis, which is more like an applied economic analysis, an applied managerial analysis of, again, one of the major mistakes and missteps of the Biafran government during the war, which was to invade the Midwest. It's going to be a major writing titled a SWOT analysis. SWOT is strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, which we apply in the principles of management and economics. Why the Biafran government should never have invaded the Midwest during the war.
That will be interesting and I'm sure very well researched, objective analysis, and we will look forward to that and hopefully have an opportunity to discuss that. Our guest on the program has been Dr. Chinyere Egbe. That's Chinyere Egbe, E-G-B-E. The book is Elephants, the Grass, and a Teacher, Recollections and Reflections on the Nigeria-Biafra War. The book is available wherever books are sold, or to, of course, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Also, the publisher, mainspringbooks.com. And I thank Mainspring Books for arranging our conversation with Dr. Egbe on today's program. Making your stories come to life, that's what they do at Mainspring Books. Dr. Egbe, thank you so much for being with us on the program. A pleasure. Excellent job with this book, receiving rave reviews, well-deserved. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I say thank you again. It was my pleasure. I am glad that I was in this your program today, and I look forward to future conversations here and elsewhere. Thank you so much.
You are welcome. So much more we can talk about. Dr. Chinyere Egbe is our guest on the program. The book available wherever books are sold. A link to his website on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.